And we are now recording episode 2 of Take What You Need podcast. My name is Anne, and I am your lovely host of this podcast. I'm the only host of this podcast. So today we're going to talk about, y'all, it's been 1 year since we've been in this pandemic. And I guess this is the year that we're free from it as vaccines are rolling out. I've been seeing people post that they already take their vaccinations and stuff like that. Still getting some mixed information from the CDC about wearing masks or not, but interesting. That's all I'll say about that. But before we get into that conversation, I just want to thank you. I thank everyone who's listened to the second episode. If you're new, hi, hello, go ahead and subscribe. Listen to this episode and the first episode. And, you know, you make the decision if you want to leave a 5-star rating or not. I feel as if when I have like a certain amount of episodes, that's when I'm going to start saying, you know, the 5-star rating is definitely appreciated, most likely required. But, I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. I hope you guys are in the mood. Well, not in the mood, but have a great week. The week has been flying by. I can't believe we're in the middle of March. By the time you listen to this episode, I believe it's going to be March 15th. Speaking of March 15th, happy birthday, Keisha. This past weekend, I had a bridal brunch. I am going to be a bridesmaid at my friend's wedding on December. I don't know if I want to say the date, but I know the date. I'm very excited. I have never been a bridesmaid. I don't consider being a bridesmaid at a young age a real bridesmaid because I don't know you to be a bridesmaid. Like, for some context, in Haitian culture, I don't know why they do this, so don't ask me too much details. They would have like young girls be like, they call it the kites, like the bridesmaids or whatever. And I thought it would be just so weird. I never understood. Like, I barely know you. I know we go to the same church, but why am I walking in your wedding again? I was never a flower girl, but I walked in like, I think 2 other weddings. But regardless, the situation was great. It was a fun wedding to go to. One was on a boat, one was in church. Regardless, it was amazing. I just didn't understand that why a young child was walking in somebody else's wedding. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, so I'm going to talk about 5 things that I've learned during the pandemic. 2020 is going to be one of the, you know, years we look back and just like, wow, like that was an interesting year. And before the entire quarantine thing happened, the NBA shut down, whatever, because the NBA is what triggered the world to be shut down. Because if, like, I guess if the NBA wasn't making money, we need to shut down. But all of these things I'm going to talk about are in absolutely no particular order. 2020 for me was a lot of silence, a lot of, you know, focusing on different things, seeing if what I wanted to do is something that I wanted to do for myself or something that God has been wanting me to do. Because listen, when the world shuts down and all the plans that you had for yourself have to be postponed and you have to pivot in a way you've never pivoted before. And during the entire year, not only did you not get the virus, speaking for myself, I was employed. I didn't get the virus. I had a place to stay. I could even stay at my friend's place. I moved during this pandemic. Like, so much happened during this pandemic. And what I really thank God for is I still believe and will forever believe that 2020 was a year of vision. You know, so many people that we looked up to, they're probably like, I don't know, some type of fraud or some type of, oh, they're weird. And I'm not even talking about cancel culture, because that's a conversation for another day as well, talking about cancel culture. But 2020, it realigned a lot of things that I've questioned. Realign me in my vision, and not only what I want to do, but what God wants to do for me. I realized that a lot of things that I've always wanted to do, I've been in a way of it myself. I'm the person who's in my own way of a lot of things, but I realize that if I continue to be in the way of myself, I'm always going to arrive to the same situation, wondering why is it still like this when I'm the person in my way. So starting with number one, again, there's no particular order. Faith is an action word. So yes, God can do great things exceedingly and abundantly, but we really have to put our faith into it. You know, a faith without works is dead. So with our faith and what God has already done, we need a combination of both. Like with me, I had to realize that faith is an action word because faith will require me to take risk. It will require me to push me outside of my comfort zone. It will require me to do something that I've never done before, but not do it blindly because I'm doing it with God. I'm not doing it then involving God later. As I'm doing it, before I did it, I've already involved God. I've already asked God, is this what you want me to do? I always understood, you know, you got to read the Bible, you got to pray, you got to do this. But I realized that for me, like my faith was low in a sense that I believed in God, but I wasn't trusting him. I wasn't like, Father, I know you could do this for me because you've done it for me before. The same God who did it before can do it again, but don't expect that he'll do it again the same way. I had to really understand that faith is an action word. Like faith without works is dead. Number two, I think all of us can apply this to ourselves, is to make space for God. When we plan without him, most likely it will leave us disappointed. And a while ago, I tweeted that I wanted to make space for something new because I realized in my life, and okay, I'm gonna go a little bit of backstory of how I got to this point. So last year I was in my room and it was like around springtime right before the pandemic. And I was like, you know what? I need to actually clean out my closet. And crazy enough, I'm looking at my closet right now and it needs to be cleaned out. But I wanted to get like a whole new wardrobe or whatever. Cause I'm like, I feel like the clothes that I had, they're not cute anymore. I didn't want to wear them anymore or whatever. And I was like, okay, so all your hangers are occupied by clothes that you don't like. You can't buy any more hangers because there's no space to add anymore. So what you need to do is that you need to make space for something new. And as this was all like in my head, like I was reasoning with myself, and I believe that, you know, I just had that. I just believe that at that time that God was telling me that this is what you see visually, but you need to apply this also to your life and to your spiritual life, because there's a lot of, garbage ideas, things that I have that I've been holding on to. And when you hold on to old ways, it's hard for you to make space for new things. You know, like if, for example, if your closet is at capacity with clothes, and what is the point of putting new clothes there? It doesn't serve its purpose. Like you got new clothes because the old ones are not good. So get rid of the old ones. And for me, it goes beyond clothes. It's like, for example, like there's some things in my life. I don't want to get too much detail into it or go into it too much, but there's a few things in my life that I want to get rid of, like, thought patterns, fear being one of the biggest ones, procrastination, laziness, this idea of everything has to be perfect. I wanted it all to go. And I realized that I may want it to go, but am I making space for those things to go? Am I getting rid of it? Am I getting rid of it and then going in the garbage and getting it right back? And I found myself doing that for some things. Because sometimes when you question yourself, like, why am I still doing these things? Why am I still here? And you realize that you're the problem. You're not making space for these new things. These new things and old things cannot coexist together. Like, the better version of you needs the old version of you to go. You know, like what you learn at the older version of you, you learn it, you write it down, you process it. You say, you figure it out either with a therapist, with a friend, someone who can actually help you. I mean, preferably, most likely, a licensed therapist or a close friend who really knows you and that you can trust. But a therapist is always a good option, because it's always good for someone that you don't have a personal connection with to tell you about yourself in a more professional way. I mean, it's a, I am working on getting a therapist, because I'm telling you, I be in my own head. But yeah, definitely make space for something new, and make space for God, most importantly. Involve him in all your plans. Let him be your consultant. If you have a business plan, talk to him about it. And it might sound crazy to some people, but talking to God is really a two-way communication. He may not always answer you on the spot, but when God answers a prayer or a request or a conversation that you're having with him, you know it's him, because it's like, I didn't tell nobody else this. It's crazy. So getting into number three. And number three is, your ideas and your voice is valid. God wouldn't give you an idea just for fun. So write it down, pray on it, and work on it. For me, I always thought that, oh, somebody's already doing this, I don't need to do it. Or somebody else is already talking about it, why do I need to talk about it? And to me, I was, you know, closing opportunities, saying no to doing things that I want to do just because somebody else was doing it. And the thing is, nothing new is under the sun. And I know that, but it's just like, it's a thought. it's me getting away of my own self. What you want to do is valid. Your ideas are valid, because your ideas and your voice is valid, because nobody else knows your life or knows your experience, and you never know what you can say or what you can do to help somebody else. That's also one of the reasons why I wanted to start a podcast. I always write things down. I talk to my friend Cherie about it, and it'd be like, dang, like I'm gonna gas myself up because I rarely do this. But I am a brilliant person. I have a brilliant mind, thanks to God. And it's just like, girl, your ideas and your voice is valid. Why do you feel as if like nobody would want to listen to these things? And sometimes we have to be confident in ourselves. We have to gas ourselves up in a way, because not gas ourselves up to a point where we're a complete airhead, but you know, write something down, talk to God about it. And then like, you know, have a trusted friend. Hey, what do you think about this? And then, you know, listen to what they say, because sometimes they may not understand it. But once you and God have that agreement and you guys get it, just do it. Like, just do it. So with that being said, your voice and your ideas are valid. Okay. God would not give you an idea just for fun. Okay. Good ideas are God ideas. Work on it. Do it. He will help you get to that goal, turn that vision into reality. Because God don't give you ideas and things just to give you ideas and things, you know? number four. I believe we're on number four now. After God, I come first. After God. Now, this is a person I am... I have a boyfriend, but I'm technically single on paper. I found my text by myself, so therefore I don't have a husband. I ain't got no kids, and I ain't got no cat. I do have brothers, and I do have a mom and dad. But the reason why I say after God, I come first is because it's okay to say no. It's okay not to agree with other people. And it's also okay to change your mind. It's okay to voice your opinion when you feel as if you need to voice your opinion. And I say that because sometimes people say things on social media and it's like, it didn't need to be shared. It didn't need to be shared because maybe because it's ignorant, or maybe it didn't need to be shared because it was kind of like, can you complete the sentence? And also sometimes I feel as if certain conversations are hard to have on social media because not every conversation is made for social media, because not only is it the atmosphere, but it's the medium itself. You know, it's hard to give a complete thought within a tweet. And yes, you can do a thread, but how many times have someone took one thing from a thread and turned it into a humongous debacle that people just fail to read, you know, the entire thought. But for me, I had to realize that after God, I come first, is because God has already created me to do whatever he wanted me to do. Now, if I put him first and I put other people's ideas and thoughts and things before myself, to me, that kind of puts a space between me and God in terms of that. Okay, I go to God and then I go to other people for things. It's like, why? Me and God have this relationship already. And after him, I come, you know? So after God, that's when I come. That's when I listen to his commandments. That's when I take care of myself. I'm getting the communication from him. I'm getting everything that I need from him. I may not be getting it that day that I ask for it, but it's me and God. So because he comes first, it's okay for me to say no to other people. It's okay for me to create that space just for him and then not fill it with other people. I had to learn that because I am a people pleaser. So to me, it's when I would say no to people, I would feel so bad, you know, and it wasn't even FOMO sometimes. Like I said no, like, oh my gosh, she might hate me. What can I do to make it up to her? And it's like, oh my, it started to be really bad when I started to get, you know, anxiety about things that really didn't matter. So after God, you come first. Like after God, you come first in your life, in that order. Okay. Because once you start putting other people before you, and it's different when you have family, when you have a child, when you have a husband, that's not my ministry to preach on, but I believe as people who are single, it's us and God first and foremost, because everybody else is going to tell you something different. That's not what he said. That's what they said. Last but not least, raise the expectation for yourself, raise the expectation for God. Because I say the reason why we need to raise the expectation for God is not to, when it comes to what God does, is that not only he'll do it, but he'll do it in a way that you would never have expected. So when you think, for example, when you praying to God and you just think that, oh God, I just need this new job, I need this bill paid or whatever, he's going to do that plus more. Sometimes we just focus on all the small things, you know, and when we focus on the small things and we pray to God about the small things, we make him as if he's a small God. For example, for me, I am working on getting into my career and working and doing things that I really want to do, because I'm an excellent employee and I feel as if I'm sitting on my talents by working for a company that has something to do with my talents. And I'm not only going to pray God, oh, for a new job, you know, that pays me more. I'm not going to ask for that. God, you know the desires of my heart. You know what I've been wanting to do. You know what you want me to do. What can I do to get there? And first and foremost, I'm going to raise the expectation of myself, because I know that God has already done it for me. I just have to walk into it. But most importantly, I have to raise the expectation for myself, meaning that, okay, this is what you want. What are you doing right now? How does your resume look like? How are you working towards that actively? You know, because it goes hand in hand. Again, this goes into faith without works is dead. And I had to raise the expectation for God, is because sometimes I act as if, you know, he's here and my problem's there. My God is bigger than my problems. I can't make it seem like my problems are everything right now, you know? So for me, I had to raise the expectation for myself and raise the expectation for God, because I know God can do exceedingly and abundantly. You know, that's the kind of God that I have. I can no longer, you know, live or think from the area of lack, because I lack nothing. Everything that I have, everything that I can get, God has already given it to me. I lack nothing, you know. I trust that God has done it before and he'll do it again, exceedingly, abundantly, like sometimes when you think about the most worst situation that you were in, and you thought that situation would never end, and then when a situation ended, the way it ended, all you can think is, but God, you know, like sometimes because as humans, we're not able to see into the future or to know what happened next. But when we, you know, stay close to God, pray, be close with Him, we realize that, oh my gosh, my problems are so small. I thought that was the worst situation ever. I thought that was the worst relationship ever. I thought that I would never meet somebody. I thought I would never have friends again. I thought, you know, like I would never be able to work again. But God always exceeds our expectations. So that's why we have to raise the bar. It's like with me now, when it comes to certain situations, I have this calmness about me because it's like, I know if I do something, I'm going to go to jail. But I know if God does something, whoo, that peace and no jail, that goes hand in hand. But I think for me, 2020 and this pandemic has been a year of reveal, a year of vision, of not only God doing amazing things for me, but me being able to see it, you know, me being able to reap the benefits of it has been so amazing. You know, me, I don't talk about my dad as much, but me and my dad are a bit closer. I've learned to value a lot of friendships. This year, I had plans on moving out of state. That was something big for me, but you know, COVID hit and COVID changed all the plans. And I'm glad I didn't make that big move. I don't think I was ready for that big move at all. Like financially, like I wasn't ready for that move at all. But you know, I thank God for His protection and for His provision and all that He's done for me. I hope what I'm saying that you guys can relate to it or can understand what I'm saying. But 2020 was an amazing, it was a roller coaster of a year. But it has, you know, it has reflected the relationship that I have with God in such a way that I had to check myself so many times. One thing I'm very happy about is that I've got out of a very weird roommate situation. I'm not gonna talk about it now because I'm telling you guys there's gonna be a day when I talk about this roommate situation, but for now I'm just glad that I'm no longer in that situation with that person. But that basically is the five things that I've learned in a 2020 pandemic on this first episode. Again, what are some of your takeaways from 2020? Because we have been in a pandemic for 20 years. I mean, 20 years. Oh, that'd be scary. In 2020 for like a year. Like I think March 12th made it a year. I know it made it a year of working from home for me. It's very interesting. A lot of jobs literally can do remote work but choose not to, but they can save so much in retail space. I think hopefully remote work has shown that people don't have to graduate and move to an expensive city just to have a good job. You know, they can have that maybe from home. If they do want to work in a city in a corporate office, that would be great. But again, that's a conversation for another day. So we're going to talk about jobs and all this stuff another time. Before I get into the Black Business of the Week segment, and that Black Business of the Week segment, I don't want to get to it. The take what you need for this week is, if you can't control it, it will control you. That could be your anger. That could be your eating habits. I'm working on my eating habits. That could be your drinking habits. That could be any habit that you have that you think that you have control of. But once somebody offers it to you, you see it in a store, you hear about it, it's like it has a hold on you. And let me tell you guys, food has been having a hold on me and I need to control it before it controls me. Because I am entering to my late 20s. I am not skinny mini anymore. I am not thick. I need to control it before it controls me. Yeah, so that's something to definitely think about. So last but not least, our Black Business of the Week is these products are hair products, and one is a skin product. It's called The Golden Era. I'll have all the information in the show notes about where you can find this stuff, the link to the website and everything else. So The Golden Era is founded by Channing. I have been following her on social media probably since MySpace days. But when she created a hairline product, to me, I'm a recovering product junkie. Almost slipped up there. I have been trying to find good oils and good spray, leave-in sprays for my hair. My edges need all the help it can get to recover itself. And this, the Golden Treatment Oil, I love it. I've been using it for such a long time. I love to use it when I have a protective style in my hair. I'm the type of person, I've always been big on oils. I just love oils. I don't use hair grease at all. I know some people are saying hair grease is a thing to use now, but I love a hair oil. I love a leave-in conditioner. The leave-in conditioner that I love from her the most is called the Rapunzel Spray. I had braids in a while ago, and normally when I have braids in, it gets to a point where my scalp just be itching. I'm not sure if I'm just itching my scalp to itch my scalp, but child, I was patting my head a lot. So I had to get this spray, and I'm telling you, when I tell you this spray did not have my hair itching, it was great. I felt like at this point maybe I could do a sew-in again. I don't like to get sew-ins because I'd be scratching my hair like crazy, and I'm not the type of person to take a rat tail comb to do that. I would just put my hands all in there, and I'm just itching. I don't know, it's something about it, this feels great. But so definitely the information is going to be on the show notes. You can definitely find her on Instagram as well. I don't have her Instagram handle on top of my head right now. At the top of my head. But I am going to leave it all down below. If you need any hair products for growth, for strength. I know for me, I need... I've been working on my hair dryness. And I have seen my hair... I still have a low porosity hair, but my hair isn't as dry as it used to be. It still retains moisture and things like that. So definitely support. It's a small Black-owned business, woman-owned as well. These products are both for men and women. They're amazing. They're great. I've used them before. Again, I wouldn't talk about products that I've never used before because that just seems a little bit fraudulent. But anyways, that concludes this week's episode of the Take What You Need podcast. If you love this episode, let's continue the conversation in my DMs on Instagram or on my Twitter if you have it. And leave a comment. If you like this episode a lot, go ahead and I would love a 5-star rating. That's a great way for you to find me. I will be on Pod Digital Media app soon. Working on being on Spotify. I believe I should be on Spotify by now. If not, I will be on there very soon. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode on this lovely Monday. You guys take care and talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.